It's a bit of pollution, but all of the joy of the Lord. And it was so lovely to be back in the motherland. And I'm delighted to be back here. And thank you so much, Minister Michael, for having us. Today is our last Healthy Church Initiative Sunday with you. However, it is just a little farewell, but not total departure. But I, myself, Precious, actually, where is Precious today? Precious is running a 10K through London today. Yeah, she's really working on her running, and she's doing a 10K today in the rain. So throughout the service, please send her lots of love and grace to get through. But I'm here with Micah. Micah is what my husband and I called the child of our old age. Yeah. You know, ladies, when you're having children in your late 30s, yeah. Micah is nearly 20, and he is number 4. And Micah's stepping in for Presh. So thank you so much, Micah. So, yeah, we're grateful. We're grateful for you, to you. We're grateful to the ministry team. It's been delightful coming in every third Sunday and saying, "Morning, church," and just seeing your lovely faces. And today we thought, as Minister Michael was saying, we thought we'd try to round everything up and look at, you know, what's the result? What was all that Healthy Church stuff about? And it really is about our families flourishing and our church thriving. Because you know, right, don't you, that the church is just a collection of our families. With no families, there's no church. And a healthy church is a thriving church. A healthy family brings towards a thriving church. So I thought we would close this chapter, because I'm sure this will be more of a journey with you. And, you know, as the Food for Purpose team, as a Healthy Church Initiative team, there are a few of us. It's just that Precious and I are the ones that work on Sundays. We do talk about you fondly as our first church that started in 2025. And as a result, we boast about you. You know, like Paul the Apostle would write letters and he would boast about certain churches across Rome. And we boast about you. We speak well of you. And guess what? Other churches, they want to be like you. They want to imbibe what you've done. So thank you for taking that brave step. And hopefully, as I said, this will be a comma in terms of our journey and our relationship and not a full stop. Yeah, not a full stop. So, flourishing families and thriving church. So I thought it would be good to recap on what you can remember from what we've been saying here. So we've been, this journey started actually just after the Lenten period last year. And that, I think that was the first time I crossed this beautiful threshold. And I think we started then to talk about and introduce the Healthy Church Initiative journey. So for those of you that don't know, I am a dietitian and a researcher, and my passion is bringing together physical health with scripture for churches so that the church can be a formidable force in terms of sharing the gospel. A lot of the time, the church mission is very spiritual, isn't it? You know, about our spirit man, a lot of prayer and fasting and all of that great stuff. But actually, if we don't look after our body, which is the container, so can you imagine, I don't know who's got a bottle or a cup or anything, if you have a bottle, the contents and the integrity and the usefulness of the contents. Oh, thank you, ma'am. I can see a lovely cup there. What have you got in your cup? Actually, can I be nosy? What have you got in there? Water. Water and lemon. Oh, very good. So, your water and lemon, the usefulness, the integrity, the delight of your water and lemon is only as good as the container. So if you didn't have the cup, how would you carry it around? How would you drink it? You wouldn't, right? Really difficult. And that's the message of the Healthy Church Initiative, our gospel message. All of the good works that God would have us do is only as good as the container, the body that we have to carry it. So my body carries my spirit and my soul. Often in church, we're building our spirit so that we can go out there and show the world the fruit of the spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, all of that stuff. If I didn't have a body, I couldn't do that, could I? So the Healthy Church Initiative is about looking after the container. So think about this when we're long gone. What were they talking about? We were talking about the container. Your body is the container. So if God has given you gifts, which I know he has, to go out and be a blessing to the world, we can only do that if we have a container. In fact, our body, my body, is the only legal tender I have to be here on earth. So there's no one in this room without a body, is there? Or there shouldn't be. Right, there shouldn't be. So is that making sense? So it's not about, the Healthy Church Initiative was never about, oh, you've got to be a size 10, or you've got to have a flat tummy, or you've got to have big muscles. It's always about being a faithful steward of the container. Because the contents, the goodness, the love of Jesus that you carry, that we carry, can only reach our communities if we give the message. And we can only give the message, and sometimes giving the message isn't about talking, it's about doing. But we can't do, can we, without a healthy body. So it was about looking after that container. So let me take you back to 6 sessions, which was last year actually. And in session 1, we started with goals and physical activity. Does anyone remember? Yeah, good, I see a few nods, that's good. And there was a £50 prize for the person who racked up the most steps. So we don't know who that person is because I don't see on the groups, but if it's you, and with all truth, you know it's you and you've been that active, we would love to receive a record of your physical activity from the time we started because there's a £50 prize waiting for you. So, yeah, we talked about intention. So moving from intention. Often we start health journeys with intention. Our intention is, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And really that first week was about moving from intention to action. And we learned that vision without movement is just a dream. So hopefully some of us did get something out of that session. Our second session was the Eat Well Guide. And that was where we brought that massive plate diagram, and we had lots of cards in the other hall, and you were putting foods where you thought they needed to go into the food groups. And we were reflecting on that day, weren't we, on God's goodness, on Eden, and God's original plan for us to have nourishment. And we were also bringing back the simplicity of the food message, weren't we? Having plenty of fruit and vegetables, but also managing excess. And we were talking about balance and also appreciating God's provision. And in session 3, we talked about salt, fat, and sugar. And in as much as we enjoy them, we talked about what happens when, we take those gifts a little bit too far, And we looked at some scriptures, didn't we, around, misuse of those gifts and how something like honey, which can be so good if we have too much of it, can also actually be quite harmful. And we looked at salt, excess of salt, and the effect that it can have. So the Bible actually says that salt is good, but too much of it, as we know, can cause problems like hypertension, can affect our kidneys and make them really work too hard. And we don't want to do that because we're looking after the container, our bodies. And we also talked about too much sugar, and we were recognizing how we could manage those amounts. And I remember Precious bringing in some foods. We had them on the screen, and you were guessing, and we had some lovely children helping out. You were guessing how much sugar and salt was in them. And whilst we're in that, does anyone at all remember from some of the demonstrations we did in the hall on that day, does anyone remember how many teaspoons of sugar are in a bottle of Coca-Cola? Anyone? 20? No, not that many. But yeah, we're looking at double figures though. Yeah, about 12 to 15, depending on the brand, on cola. What about Supermalt? Does anyone remember Supermalt? A bottle of Supermalt? How many teaspoons of sugar? 50? 50? Not that many. About 12. So often, and I think we were trying to draw the distinguish between, healthy drinks and those that are labelled as healthy. So we talked about fruit juices. Do you remember what the message was about fruit juices? Were we saying you should have plenty of them or were you should cut back on them? Which one? Cut back. Why are we cutting back? Yeah. So whether that sugar came from, you know, the fruit or it came from the teaspoon, to your body, sugar is right. So, you know, you see all those labels, don't you? Natural sugar. Your body doesn't really care whether the sugar was from sugar cane, from an orange, or whether it was from, you know, a bag of sugar. Your body processes it as sugar. And too much sugar, we know, can affect our teeth, can affect our liver, can make us put on extra weight, which can put us at risk of illnesses such as type 2 diabetes, obesity. And generally, there's this thing, I think I talked about it in a cursory manner, inflammation. Inflammation is just that, you know, that time you wake up every day and you just don't feel so good. You know, you've got a little bit of a temperature, little bit of an ache. You know, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, there's nothing really wrong with you. And what's happened is your body becomes inflamed. You know, your cells that should be walking maybe at 3 miles an hour, they're rushing around at 10 miles an hour because there's too much burden of sugar on your body. My children would say, Mum, you're doing the most. And your body is saying to you, hey, you're doing the most. So inflammation, it's under the radar, but it makes our joints ache. We don't feel so good. And that was one of the things we were talking about, reducing our sugar. So what would you say from that session, what would you say was probably the best and safest drink for all of us?
Water.
Water, as we used to say, as a North London last I am. Water, indeed. Okay, so session four. I remember session four because that was just, I think, around Christmas time, and we were talking about rest and sleep. And I think I presented rest and sleep as that forgotten relative when it comes to healthy living. We often forget, don't we, about rest and sleep. And I think sometimes when we are asked to rest, we feel really guilty, and we look at ourselves sometimes as being lazy. And I remember giving the example of God during creation. After working really hard to create this beautiful earth, including you and I, what did God do? Now, it wasn't because he was tired, because he's omnipotent, which means all powerful. But he was setting an example for us to rest. I remember talking about sleep, actually. And I remember saying that many of us sleep, but we don't rest. Yeah. Isn't that something? Why do you think that is? Does anyone remember why sometimes we sleep, but when we wake up, we still feel unrested? Why do you think that is? Thinking, yeah. Thinking about what?
Life.
Worries of life and the cares of life. And I remember at that time saying that, you know, one of the things that God would have us do, God invites us to cast all of our burdens onto him because he cares. All of those things that keep you up at night, Jesus is like, give it here. Jesus is saying, give it here, because the Bible says he gives his beloved rest. But he wants, in order for him to give you that rest, he's saying, give me the issues, give me the worries, give me the problems. And that is an act of faith, isn't it? So really important. How many hours of sleep, roughly, do you think we should be having? I think I mentioned that really briefly.
Six, seven, nine.
So the average, a lot of the scientists say the average is about 8 hours. For children, are you listening? Yeah, children should be sleeping a lot more. When mummy or daddy, auntie or uncle or grandma or granddad say you need to go to bed, it's not because they're being mean, it's because your body is still growing and developing and you need lots of sleep. So about 10 to 12 hours. So 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock is a good time for you as children to go to bed so that you can grow and really be healthy and thrive. So yes, we spoke about sleep and rest. And the last session, session five, I was sunning myself away in Nigeria, busy being up and down Lagos, Ibadan, Abeokuta, and enjoying myself. And I heard that Precious and Micah were here talking about the spirit versus appetite and mastering the flesh. So really looking at the fruit of the spirit and self-control. And Precious said to me, Minister Michael, you won't believe it. She said, well, Mum, because you know she's my daughter, right? She said, Mum, that was the best session. Yeah, right. That's what I said. You know. I was like, yeah. She said, Mum, she said, they said it was the best session. So I don't know. I'm not here to tell tales, but was it the best session? So I will tell her that you said, But we explored self-control, didn't we? And we looked at the fruit of the Spirit. And I think, you know, when we look at a lot of chronic illnesses, there is something about us taking control again, taking control of those things that trouble our lives, taking control of addictions. And I don't want to downplay this, because a lot of people see their lives and look at a pattern, and those patterns started with just a habit. I'll just have that extra sugar. I'll just take, you know, 4 sugars instead of 5. And while you're young, sometimes those things don't matter as much. But when you get older, you start seeing the knock-on effect of that. Oh, you know, I'll just stay under the blanket for a bit more. But you used to go for a walk. And it was about, you know, taking control again and being empowered by God to take control. Because sometimes, you know, your flesh is quite weak, but the Holy Spirit is here to empower us and to help us be in control. And today's session, as I said, is about staying healthy together. So this journey was never meant to be you doing it by yourself. Of course, you have the Lord, but I think the beauty of the Healthy Church Initiative is you have each other. And it was about spurring one another onto good works. What better place to do that than in church? Does everyone know what it means to spur each other onto good works? Encourage, yes, encourage, absolutely. Thank you, sir. To encourage each other, because health is not just about, it's not individualistic. It's not just about looking good on Instagram or taking pictures. It's about being faithful stewards, because there's a whole world out there that's waiting for us to be a blessing to them. So it's about us being healthy in our mind, in our spirit, but also in our body. And our anchor scriptures today that were beautifully read by the children were from 2 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health. So our desire as we leave this last week of the Healthy Church Initiative with you is that you prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. Yes, amen. And Deuteronomy 6:4, we use that scripture because it was a message for the adults to remind the children. And I think in Deuteronomy 6:4, we see where Moses is saying to Israel, you know, that you will love the Lord with all your heart, and, you know, these words will be in your heart, and you will pass them on to your children. So I am encouraging the adults. In fact, you know what? I'm begging you as well. Because, do you know what? Sometimes we say a lot of stuff, but our children watch what we do. Yeah, so it's really important that we are teaching them good health messages. They do actually, we do become what we eat, we really do. So it's really important that we're encouraged. Faith is taught at home, habits are formed at home, and health is modeled at home, and it affects what our church landscape looks like. So if we don't disciple our children in health, guess who will disciple our children in health? TikTok, Instagram, social media, on social media. So it's really important that we're imbibing those messages. So staying healthy means working together, modeling health. Our churches, I love the fact that Reverend Timmy's not here. I do miss him, but I love the fact that he's not here, because he's modeling what it means to rest. He's on a sabbatical. And I love that. That's powerful leadership. Now, my husband and I are also ministers, and I spend a lot of my time pleading with ministers to take time off. Yeah, take time. A lot of ministers are burnt out. We come to the pulpit and we smile, and some of us wear a collar and we wear a gown and we look amazing, but inside there's a man and a woman who is not resting. And the data, a lot of the statistics say, about 60 to 70% of ministers in the UK are suffering from burnout. So when I see people like Reverend Timmy going off and saying, I'm on a sabbatical, That is great modeling, and I think that's something that we can imbibe. Church normalizing rest, taking time away, and not glorifying burnout. Encouraging ourselves and you know, having this health, these healthy habits is about reflecting on stewardship of our bodies. Making movement joy and not, you know, punishment. Self-control becoming about worshipping God through what we do and not shaming people about how they look, about their shape, and about perhaps how they're not doing. One thing I'd like us to consider before I leave the pulpit is, what's that one thing that you as the St. John's family will do? What's that one thing you'll do as the family, as the church family? Not 10 things, not a strategy. What's that one thing? Just one thing. It might be a monthly family walk. It might be a weekly Afrobeats class. And I hope people are going to turn up for that. It might be a church-wide rest. It might be a healthy refreshment policy. Now, I love cake. I love cake. But it might be that you want to do something about offering fruit as well. It might be building a healthy champions team so that when we leave here, you have a team who continue the message. It might be always having a sermon at some point on stewarding the body. It might be just small changes. Whatever it is, we pray for you as the Food for Purpose team, the Healthy Church Initiative team. We pray for you that God will grant you wisdom, insight, and encouragement. I just want to share a word of prayer with you as I leave. I hope that's okay. Yes. So, Father God, thank you for what you've started here. And thank you, Lord, for the hearts and minds that have been touched. Lord, I pray that as we end this part of the journey, Lord, that you'll grant this church family wisdom, insight, grace, Lord, innovation to continue the great work that has been started. Lord, we're grateful for these healthy bodies. Help us, Lord, not to abuse them. Help us to be great stewards. And Lord, when we meet again, let us have great stories to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one more thing before I go. Now, we have to show that we have been doing this work. So the Greenwich Council commissioned us to come to churches. So please and please, and I am begging now, we do want you to help us by evaluating the past 6 sessions. So I've got a QR code here. After the service, we'll be watching you eat cake. No, I'm joking. We'll be with you in the hall. And we'll ask you if you've got your mobile phones to scan this QR code. It will take you to a page where you can write, answer some questions about the session. So they want to know, you know, how are we doing? Now, we could lie to Greenwich and say, well, we were just fantastic. Or we could say, mm-hmm, you know, like, yeah. But we really do want to hear your stories. Good, and also what could have been done better, because we want to learn. We've got the QR code, but we also have some paper copies if you don't have, you know, a smartphone, or if you want to write a paper copy. Please, please, please. We need a minimum of 20. A minimum. So we will be asking. And of course, remember, there's £50 for that person who is the most active. So may God bless you, and thank you so much for being such an exceptional church.